Hello. Welcome once again to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We are studying the book of Acts, Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. Today in this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, in this message that is titled, Healing is Manifest. Let's read the passage in Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement and what had happened to him. This miracle, like those of Jesus, with a major difference. I mean, this is a miracle like the ones of Jesus, but there was a major difference. Jesus healed by his own authority. Peter healed in Jesus' name. Peter healed in Jesus' authority, not in his own. He didn't claim control of any power. He didn't control the power of the Spirit to do whatever he chose. He performed this miracle by Jesus' authority, just as Jesus did of his own authority. The work that Jesus did in his earthly ministry was continued in the church. In Scripture, miracles were always performed in service to the Word. In Scriptures, miracle always confirmed God's presence in the Gospel. In Scripture, miracles were always a sign that enabled faith. Miracles were, and they continue to be, a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So let's look closer at this text, and let's see in this text four observations regarding the miracle of healing that was performed that day. Four observations regarding the miracle of healing that was performed that day. First, the miracle occurred in the course of faithful service. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Large crowds were there to witness the healing. So it was a very good time to be begging. The man was born lame. It was not from a sickness or injury. Regardless, he was prohibited from entering the temple because of the defect. So the first thing is that the miracle occurred in the course of faithful service. Peter and John were going up to the temple for the prayer time, and it was in the course of that routine that this miracle occurred. The second thing about the miracle is that it occurred as the saints focused on need. Verses 3 through 5. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Fixing his eyes on him. Picture the scenes. Alms, alms. Hundreds of times a day. People may flip a coin as they hurry by, hardly even looking at him. Just toss him something or not. What was different that day? What was different that day was Peter and John stopped and looked at the beggar intently. Was it about generosity? Well, yeah. It was about generosity, but not in the way that he was thinking. So the miracle occurred as the saints focused on need. Not what the beggar thought he needed, but the need that he truly had and what God was about to provide for. Third, the miracle occurred to reveal the real need. Look at the first part of verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." Now, some things are more precious than silver or gold. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is more precious than silver or gold. The beggar was about to learn that lesson. And then fourth, the miracle occurred in order to establish faith. The second part of verse 6 down to verse 10 of our text. "But what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The miracle established faith within the unsaved individual in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It was about his power and his authority. Jesus worked through Peter. Consider that the beggar for a moment. Day by day, he sat just outside the temple, but never able to go inside. You see, in Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 and 8, the first part of 18, it reads, "Speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generation who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach." But in the new covenant, the sinner in Christ is the temple where the presence of God dwells by the Holy Spirit. Look at Peter, the same one who's doing God's work in bringing about this miracle, this change in this man's life. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, it says, "Coming to him," speaking of Jesus, "as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, in Zion I lay a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The point is there in verse 10. It's also, look at the point, it's there in verse 10 of that we are called, we were not people outside of the community of God, and we're now, having received mercy, we had not had mercy before. And then if you also go over into Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That lame man in our text was made acceptable by his physical healing. But all are made acceptable by spiritual means in Jesus Christ. Rejected by religion, but accepted by faith. The miracle also established faith within the unsaved multitudes. It says they were filled with wonder and amazement. They were ready to hear Peter's sermon of explanation in this place. And that's what we'll look at next time. Until then, you have a great day.